How then should we pray? Sometimes we ask that question ourselves. We're not quite sure how to put our prayers into words. Martin Luther once wrote in regards to prayer, the fewer the words, the better the prayer. There's a few preachers that could take heed of that advice. Present company excluded, of course. While I know many of you do feel that way about sermons, most of us probably really don't think that way about prayer. We know prayers don't necessarily have to be long, but we want them to be long enough to get in all of our requests. I mean, we don't want to miss anybody. We don't want to forget a loved one. We don't want to overlook a particularly pressing need. When someone is leading us in prayer, whether in worship or at other times during our lives, I think most of us want that person to sound articulate and well-spoken. We're always impressed when people can weave congregational themes into their prayer, and we're really impressed when people can quote scripture in their prayer. I think we all fall into the thinking that God is not only concerned with what we ask, but with how we ask for it. Kind of like the young man getting ready to ask a girl for his hand in marriage, or today a young woman asking a young man for his hand. We want to get the words just right because we think it's important. Today is the second in a series of sermons on the means of grace. And yes, I have chosen prayer. Sometimes it's hard for us to think of prayer being a means of grace because we think of prayer first and foremost as us asking God for things. Now, the answers to prayer can be means of grace when God responds affirmatively to our call to heal someone or to remove trouble from our life or to help us overcome an obstacle or to make a decision. We can see God's answers as means of grace. But prayer itself is a means of grace. It's more than just a means of us communicating with God what we want. Prayer is one of those ways that God shapes us. Richard Foster, the author and pastor who I will quote a lot during this series, wrote, "To pray is to change. Prayer is the central avenue God uses to transform us. If we are unwilling to change, we will abandon prayer." Now, most of us fully understand that there are ways that God changes us, that God feeds us, that God gives us His grace. We think of Holy Communion. We think of coming to worship. We can either think of fellowship. But often it's not prayer that we think of. When we think of one of the ways that God shapes us and molds us and enables us to grow in faith and love. Thomas Merton, one of my favorite monastic writers, wrote, "If the life of prayer is to transform our spirit and make us new men in Christ, then prayer must be accompanied by conversion, by metanoia, that deep change of heart in which we die on a certain level of our being in order to find ourselves alive and free on another and more spiritual level." I think what Merton is getting at is the idea of prayer being one of the ways that God changes us, transforms us. Now, more often than not, our prayers sound like an organ recital. You know what I mean by that, right? We pray for Uncle Jack's knee and for Aunt Bessie's back and for whoever's, you know, rheumatism or whatever we have, right? We pray for physical healing, we pray for those specific things. And we think mostly prayer is asking for healing or for strength or for forgiveness, either for ourselves or others. But prayer isn't necessarily about changing what God does. Prayer is about God changing us. I mean, yes, those are those stories in Scripture of God responding to prayer, like in Exodus 32, when God changes God's mind about destroying Israel because Moses interceded. We heard from the Scripture Mike read this morning that the prayers of a righteous person can be effective. They can bring about healing and forgiveness in the lives of others. And there is a time for us to make our request known to God. After all, in the verses right after we stopped in the gospel this morning, Jesus said, "Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened to you." But prayer isn't only about asking and receiving. When we pray, we put ourselves in our place. Now, we love putting other people in their place, don't we? Especially my kids. Anyway, we love putting other people in their place. But prayer is a time when we put ourselves in our place. Someone once said the Lord's Prayer isn't really the prayer Jesus was praying. It's the prayer he taught us to pray. It's the disciples' prayer, and it's a prayer of humility. Praying is a posture we assume before God as much as it is the words that come out of our mouths. In praying the prayer that Jesus taught us, we are, in a sense, posturing ourselves as human beings before an almighty God. We are saying to God, we are dependent, right? Give us this day, we pray. We are saying to God, we are guilty, forgive us. We are saying we are lost when we pray, lead us not. And we're admitting our vulnerability as human beings when we ask God to deliver us. Praying the Lord's Prayer, or any prayer if we look at it this way, is really about recognizing who God is and who we really are. There's a scene from the movie Rudy. I don't know if any of you have seen that, about a walk-on football player at the University of Notre Dame. And he was struggling with some things, and he went to see a priest. And he was asking these questions, and the priest finally came to this conclusion. He said, "There are two things I know for sure. One is that there is a God, and two, that I'm not him." And in essence, that's what we do when we pray. We are saying to God, even in the Lord's Prayer or any time we go before God, "You are God and I need you." And that's what makes prayer a means of grace. It's that humility, that positioning ourselves before God as those who need a divine presence in our lives. The purpose of prayer is not to open up God to what we want, but rather open us up to God, what God wants to do in us. I think some of the problems is we think of prayer as intercessory prayer and only. There's all sorts of other types of prayer. There's contemplative prayer and meditation and silent prayer. There's prayer that can be expressed in song. There's prayer that can be expressed in work. I mean, I've shared this story with you before, but I sat in on a talk given by a monk at a monastery in Kentucky. And he shared how a part of the monk's vocation is to pray. And he said, "When I am wrapping fruitcakes," this particular monastery made fruitcakes. The fact that they infuse them with shots of good old Kentucky bourbon is a whole nother story. If you want the address, I can give it to you. But he would say that his wrapping fruitcakes was a form of prayer. And somebody who was in the group with me raised their hand and said, "You mean you're praying while you're wrapping the fruitcakes?" And he goes, "No. My work is a form of prayer. It's a form of me offering myself before God, offering myself up to God." When we get out of just seeing prayer as intercessory prayer, we can see more often and more easily how prayer can be a means of grace for us. And so we come to the second Sunday in Lent. I don't know if any of you tried fasting this week, if any of you are still considering it. I will, as a follow-up, say if you want to talk about it, if you want help praying or discerning over it, come and see me. I'd be happy to talk to you. But this week, we can focus on prayer. Not saying the right words, not getting every request down pat, not trying not to forget anything important. But what if we can see prayer this week as just being before God? sitting before God, resting, opening ourselves up. Maybe for some of you, it would be happy to imagine Jesus sitting next to you, just being in his presence. What if we, for this week, can, yeah, make your request. They're important. God tells us to make our requests known. But let's not stop there. What if we go to prayer this week and try to say, Lord, maybe the biggest request I have this week is in these moments, change me. Open myself up to you. Make me fully aware of just how much you are God and I am not. God has given us many avenues to receive his grace. Prayer is one of them. My hope is that it will be for you, not only in this week, but always. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.